Illumine our hearts, O Master, who lovest mankind with the pure light of thy divine knowledge, and open the eyes of our mind to the understanding of thy gospel teachings. Implant also in us the fear of thy blessed commandments, that trampling down all carnal desires, we may enter upon a spiritual manner of living, both thinking and doing such things as are well-pleasing unto thee. For thou art the illumination of our souls and bodies, O Christ our God, and unto thee do we send up glory, together with thy Father, who is without beginning, and thine all-holy, good, and life-giving Spirit, now and ever and unto ages of ages. Wisdom, let us attend, let us listen to the Holy Gospel. Peace be unto all. The reading is from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. Let us attend. The Lord said this parable. There was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. But there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who was laid at his gate, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. So it was that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. Being in torments in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. Then he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and you are tormented. And besides all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that those who want to pass from there to here to you cannot, nor can those from there pass to us. Then he said, I beg you therefore, Father, that you would send him to my father's house. For I have five brothers, that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment. Abraham said to him, They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, No, Father Abraham, but if one goes to them from the dead, they will repent. But he said to them, If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rise from the dead. Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our parable of Lazarus and the rich man this morning is thoroughly in the spirit of the prophets. And in the spirit of the prophets, we should interpret it. From the prophets, we see that both the rich man and Lazarus are images of Israel. We can take them also as images of each one of us. The rich man is an image of Israel, or of each one of us, as we present ourselves to the world. Perhaps as we present ourselves even to God. And perhaps even as we want to believe we really are. Lazarus is an image of Israel, or of each one of us, as we in fact really are in our soul, where we are hidden from the world, where God sees and where we could see if we would but come down from our high horse and stand before God deep down in our heart. On this level of interpretation, Whenever I put on airs or think that I'm something, whenever I view others with scorn or disdain, I'm clothing myself in the fine linens and purple robes of the rich man, which are the same as the self-righteousness of the Pharisee. In that, I forget that I came from the earth and that I shall return to the earth. But does this get through to me at all? Even when I go forth and gaze into the tombs, to see that beneath the fine linens and purple robes, we are all but naked bones, food for the worms and stench. Listen to the prophet Ezekiel. Through him, the Lord says to Israel, I bathed you with water and anointed you with oil. I clothed you in fine linen and covered you with silk. You grew exceedingly beautiful and came to a regal estate through the splendor that I bestowed upon you. But you trusted in your own beauty and you played the harlot. You took your fair jewels of my gold and of my silver, which I had given you, and with them you played the harlot. And you see in this imagery the glory of man as male and female, created beautiful and regal in the image of God. But we have taken the beauty of the divine image to indulge ourselves, to make ourselves like gods apart from God. We act like little gods, and we're offended when others don't treat us as such. But we are dust, and to the dust we shall return. When we put on airs, when we think that we're something, as though we are gods, when we play the harlot, to use the imagery of the prophets, and we give our beauty not to the Lord God, our true bridegroom, but to idols, then we are delivered to the greed of the idols. And they are our enemies, says Ezekiel, even though they present themselves to us as our friends. They are not lovers at all. For as Ezekiel says, they strip us of our fine linens and purple robes, they take our fair jewels, and they leave us naked and bare. They stone us, and they cut us to pieces with their swords. And so through his prophet Isaiah, the Lord cries out to Israel, indulging herself in the passions of her idols. The ox knows its owner and the ass its master's crib. But Israel does not know. My people does not understand. They have forsaken the Lord. Why will you still be smitten that you continue to rebel? From the sole of the foot to the head, there is no soundness in it, but bruises and sores and bleeding wounds. So beneath our finery, we are not rich. We are Lazarus. And if we follow the church, we are guided not to pray as rich men and women, but the church directs us to pray as Lazarus. We do not pray as the self-righteous Pharisee. We pray as the publican. We pray as repentant harlots. For example, this is from last Tuesday matins. Like the Pharisee of old, I have foolishly exalted myself, and I have sustained a grievous fall. Or again, from the same matin service. O Savior, despise me not, who am led astray by the love of carnal pleasures. I have foolishly estranged myself from thee, and likened myself to the beasts. Again, look upon my lowliness with thy compassionate eye, O Lord, for my life will reach its end in a little while, and there will be no salvation for me because of my works. How long, O my soul, shalt thou live in negligence? How long shalt thou languish in despair? Rouse thyself from the sleep of despondency. Before the end, bring the groaning of the publican and the lamentation of the harlot. Cease not to make confession with lamentation and weeping, with fasting and vigils, crying out in prayer, I have sinned. Cleanse me, O Savior, and save me, in that thou art compassionate. So if we should follow the church and take off the fine linens and the purple robe of the rich man, come down from our high horse and identify ourselves with Lazarus, we would stumble on the gospel. The good news hiding in this parable. For Lazarus has been taken by the church from her earliest days as an image of Christ, God incarnate. Lazarus is the image of the same Lord Jesus Christ as drawn by Isaiah. He was despised and rejected by men. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that made us whole, and by his stripes we are healed. The death of Lazarus, then, in the parable, is the death of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. In his death, according to the parable, that Lazarus is found in the bosom of Abraham. That is to say, the Lord Jesus is found resting, as in the Sabbath rest of his tomb, in the hearts of those who have received him in faith and in love. And they, in turn, are found in their death with him to be in his holy resurrection. The lesson of the parable, then, can perhaps be summarized like this. We find God not in the fine linens and purple robes of vanity or worldly errors, or by indulging our carnal passions, but by humbling ourselves, by coming down from our high horse to sit in the dust and ashes that we are, by confessing our sins in contrition. The beauty and the magnificence of the Orthodox Church is not of the world. It is an image of the heavenly riches of poverty and the divine majesty of humility. For when we lay aside every excuse and acknowledge our brokenness, the wounds that and sores that afflict us in body and soul, we are drawing near to God himself, who for us became flesh and partook of our death, taking upon himself our chastisement, healing our wounds with his wounds, that we may be found with him in the bosom of Abraham, cleansed, made whole, raised to life in the extreme humility of Christ. This mystery of the gospel cannot be proved. It cannot be known except within one's deep heart. Standing naked in the presence of the God who emptied himself and was found exactly as we are, clothed not in fine linens and purple, but in the wounds and sores of our broken souls. If the purpose of this life is repentance, as St. Isaac of Nineveh would say, and if the objective of this life is the acquisition of the Holy Spirit, as St. Seraphim of Sarov would say, this is how it's attained, through lowliness and humility and contrition. For in this we become like God, who became like us. In this we become one with God in the eternal life of his Son, who became one with us in his voluntary death on the cross. In this we find ourselves clothed in the beauty of God's holy resurrection, who clothed himself in the wounds and sores of our death. Glory to Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Most holy Theotokos, save us.